May we pray. Father God, we bow before you this morning once again. We come with our Bibles open, our hearts open, asking, Lord, that if there's anything that is within that would block our being able to hear your voice speak to us, that it would be removed. If there's anything that would be a graying cloud over us, may it be removed. May we hear the voice of the Son of God. May the light of Christ shine into our hearts. That you receive glory unto yourself. For you and you alone are worthy of it. Draw us into your presence just now through your holy word. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Last Sunday morning we began our journey to Bethlehem through the verse of scripture that's found in Isaiah chapter 9, reading verses 6 and 7. Again, these are passages of scripture that we hear practically every year. And yet, as the Lord drew my mind and my heart to these verses this year, I began to see that each one of the names that are listed here concerning Jesus are names that draw us into His presence, into a mighty and wonderful way to develop our relationship with Him. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning as we think for just a little while concerning the subject this morning that he is our wonderful counselor. Last Sunday morning we looked at the fact that his name is Wonderful and what a joy that is found in the name of Jesus when we truly feel his name deep within our hearts and the understanding of who he is and what he has done and is doing for us. But this morning it begins to focus us in, bring us in even a little bit closer to the fact that he is indeed our wonderful counselor. As I thought about this morning, this week, I thought about the verse of scripture that's found in the book of Luke chapter 2, which, you know, that contains the story of the birth of Jesus. But the very last verse of that second chapter of Luke, the 52nd verse, says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now he's called our wonderful counselor in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. And here in Luke 2, it tells us that Jesus increased. That is, he grew in wisdom. He's our wonderful counselor. Now, that baby who was born in Bethlehem is the eternal God. He took on flesh. That did not in any way lessen the fact that he is God. He was with the Father in the beginning when this universe was created. He was with the Father when he gave the law to Moses. He is the rock from which all living water flows. He's the Lamb of God. He was with David in all of his triumphs, and he remained with David in all of his defeats. He was with Daniel in the lion's den, and you can go on and on and on and on as to the presence of Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, before the Old Testament, and after the New Testament. He is the wonderful counselor of God. He was all of those things, and yet a little over 2,000 years ago, He had to learn how to talk. I had never thought about it in that way before. You say He's God, and He is. But He became man. And the Word of God tells us that He has tasted all things of this life so that He would be able to give us help and to give us assistance. And I'm not trying in any way to demean God. I'm not in any way trying to be sacrilegious. But as a baby, He had to learn how to talk the same as you had to learn how to talk. He had to learn how to walk the same as you had to learn how to walk. He had to learn how to endure all the things of this world the same as you and I do. If He had not done that, and we would go to Him and say, and I'm at a point in my life now where that I find myself searching for words more and more and more and more. And I find myself in that time, Lord, help me with the right words to say. He says, I learned that also. So I understand what you're going through. A counselor, a good counselor, I'm not even talking about a wonderful counselor now, but a good counselor is one who has at least two attributes to them. One is they have good ears to listen, and the second is they have wisdom to speak and to know the difference between the two. There is a time to listen, there is a time to speak. There is a time to refrain from listening, there's a time to refrain from speaking. The greatest of all counselors that has ever been or ever will be, His name is Jesus. He can truthfully say to every one of us when we come before Him with the problems, the troubles, the trials, the situations, the circumstances that we go through, He can truthfully say, I know how you feel. I remind myself this, I say it more often to remind myself than to remind anybody else, but I try my best never to say, I know how you feel, and yet sometimes it slips out of my mouth. And in reality, I don't know how anybody else feels about anything that they're going through in life. I can sympathize, I can empathize, but I don't know how you feel. But I can tell you about one this morning who does. His name is Jesus. And when we celebrate this birth of Christ, this wonderful time, it's my second favorite time of the year. First favorite being Easter. But it's the second favorite time of the year for me. When we celebrate this wonderful time of the birth of Jesus Christ, it's understanding that this child that was born, this son that was given, is the very Son of God who comes. And He came to this earth in such a way that He had to learn to experience and to go through things that you and I, some of the things you and I will never have to go through, yet He went through them so that when we approach His throne of grace, which He stands with open arms saying, come to Me. When we approach His throne of grace, we come to Him with the perfect understanding, with the blessed assurance that He doesn't have to scratch His head and say, I'll get back to you later with that. I've had to say that many times. Other times, I wasn't wise enough to say that. Other times, I just started spewing out words, and even when I finished, it didn't make sense to me. You never do that, do you? I have. I've spoken when I should have listened. I've remained quiet whenever I should have spoken. But Jesus, turn with me in your book, that book of Isaiah. Turn with me over to the 50th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah is such a beautiful book. They're all beautiful. Every book of the Bible is beautiful. But Isaiah is referred to as the little Bible. There's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. There's 66 books in the Bible. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah refer to the law and the things under the law. The remaining chapters refer to grace and mercy and the coming of Jesus Christ. And then there's so many verses that are in Isaiah that to me, I wouldn't have a problem if they were written in red ink. Because it's the words of Jesus being spoken through the prophet Isaiah 700 years or so before that He was born. But in the 50th chapter of Isaiah, starting with verse 4, See if you don't agree with me that some of these words would be all right if they were written in red. Written in red meaning it was the words of Jesus. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Isn't that a good counselor? Let me go back. Isn't that a wonderful counselor? To have the tongue of the learned. Now, I have to admit to you sometimes that when I hear the voice of God speaking to my heart, and no, I don't hear the literal voice out of heaven, but I know in my heart when the Lord is speaking to me. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me." You know when God's talking to you. You might try to ignore it as I have from many times, but you know it's the Lord. He's given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. Did you catch that? He has given me that I should know. You know, I always stutter when I start talking about Jesus as being God and Jesus being man. 100% God, 100% man. My mind can't really take that in, and yet I know it's true. But as Jesus the man, as I've already said, there's certain things that He had to learn. There's certain things that He had to experience in order that He would know how to give us the assistance that we need, the help that we need in time of our trouble. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned. Stay right there, but I want to go to 1 Corinthians 1 for just a moment. Paul, beginning the first letter of the church at Corinth in verse 30, says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Don't pass over words that show us exactly what Jesus endured for you and for me. And the word that I have passed over in that verse of Scripture until yesterday when I was trying to study this out is the word made. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that He was made a little lower than the angels. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that He made Himself of no reputation. If you make something, it means that something is transformed from one thing to another. That's not a creation, that is a making that takes place. Who of God, Christ Jesus of God, is made unto us wisdom. Now, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is knowing how to use it. He is made of God unto us wisdom. That's why when we go to Him and we say to Him, "Lord, I feel this heavy burden on my shoulders and I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to get through it. It's almost about to throw me over. I don't know what to do." He says, "I can tell you. Just listen to me. And I'll tell you how to get through," because He was made wisdom. He experienced it. He experienced it. Please don't think I'm a heretic when you go out of here today. I'm not trying to demean my Lord. I'm trying to exalt His name to tell you what He did for you and what He did for me. He didn't have to do that. He could have come to this earth, died, and in fact, He didn't have to do that. He could have left us in our sins. But He could have come to this earth, died, and went back, and that would be the end of it. We would be redeemed, but we'd have no hope for the things of this life that are thrown at us. But because that He went through those things, because that He experienced those things, you and I can have the blessed assurance when we bow before Him in prayer, when we pour out our hearts, we're not pouring out our hearts to a stone wall, we're pouring out our hearts to the living God who says, "I've been there, and I've done that, and I can tell you how to get through it." He's given me, going back to Isaiah 50, I haven't forgotten where I was at. The Lord God hath given me. If something is given to you, did you have it before it was given to you? Am I making sense this morning what I'm trying to tell you? What Jesus has did? He didn't just say, I'm a good counselor. You know, I could go online in our day and time and I could fill out the right information and I'd get this pretty certificate back saying, Steve Taylor is a registered counselor. I could do that. I could go online and I could answer a few questions and then I would get a little certificate back saying, Steve Taylor's a doctor of divinity. But because I had a piece of paper that said that, does it mean that I am? He has given me the tongue of the learned. Would you go to anyone and try to get help from them if you didn't think they could help you? The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season. A word in season. A wonderful counselor gives you the right words, but he gives you the right words at the right time. To him that is weary, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. He is the wonderful counselor. He hears, he speaks. He knows when to listen, he knows when to speak. I'm going to tell you, you can't get any more wonderful than that. What is the old saying that God's given us two ears and one mouth? And there's a reason for that. We should listen more than we speak. The Bible speaks of being quick to listen and slow to speak. I wish I could tell you that I've mastered that, but I haven't. But I can tell you one who has. He's the wonderful counselor. You can go to him with anything that's troubling you. And you don't have to worry that he'll go out the back door telling everybody everything that you just said to him. That's the next thing. There's a lot of things that I share with Judy, but there's a lot of things that I don't share with her. Because as a pastor, it's given in confidence. And once a pastor or a counselor or anyone has lost confidence because they have gone out talking about what they just heard, they've lost all usefulness. James chapter 1 tells us that God does not chide with us. He doesn't make fun of us. When you go to him with something that's troubling you, he doesn't say, oh, that's nothing, you'll get over that. I've never had him tell me that. I don't care how trivial it may have been that I spoke to my Lord about. I had his undivided attention. One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible is when Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road and Jesus passed by. And Bartimaeus cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the very disciples of Jesus ran over there and said, shh, be quiet. Don't you know he's a busy man? He's on his way to Jericho. He's got an important work to do down there. But Bartimaeus cried out the louder, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the beautiful part of that verse says, and Jesus stood still. Jesus stopped everything he was doing because he's the wonderful counselor. When you go to him, you don't have to worry, do I have God's attention? You know what my biggest worry is? Have I given him my full attention? Or is my mind going in 100 different directions, even as I'm crying out to him? The Lord God, he says, has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season. When he says, I speak a word, you can understand he's saying to speak the right word. It may not be the word we want to hear at the moment. It may not be a word that we even comprehend at the moment. But in due time, in due season, what the Lord speaks to us will come to our understanding and we'll look back and we'll say, oh, that's what he was talking about. That's why he said such a thing. He says, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. And he goes on to say, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. He's saying, I've been there. I know what it's like to be rejected. I know what it's like for people to turn their back on you. I know what it's like for you to be falsely accused. I know what it's like to be hated. I know what it's like to be despised. I know what it's like, whatever it is you're going through. But I have the tongue of the learned, and I have the ear to understand and to listen. He's the wonderful counselor. And here is the word that he gives to us. For the Lord God will help me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God is a very present help? He's not distant. He's not way out there somewhere. He's right here. He's inside of you. You don't have to go out there and say, is anybody listening? I assure you, He has the ear to hear. And if we'll listen to Him, He has the tongue to speak. And He says, the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. I won't be confused. You know, there's a lot of voices that talk in this world today. There's a lot of voices that are yelling and screaming and shouting, trying to grab our attention, trying to turn us away, trying to get us to go off out there after things that cannot be attained in this life. And yet God, the Almighty Creator of the universe, of heaven and earth itself, says, I'm right here. I'm right here. He says that in verse 7. In verse 9, He repeats it together. Behold, the Lord God will help me. How important is it to know that God will help me? It's important enough that the wonderful counselor said it twice. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government, the dispensing of the authority is upon His shoulders. The carrying out of the plan is upon His shoulders. The wisdom to get us through is upon His shoulders. The ability to get us through is on His shoulders. Everything that we need to get by from day to day to day is on His shoulders. He gives us the tongue of the learned. When Moses was called of God to go back into Egypt, and he said, I don't even know how to speak. God didn't pat him on the back and say, that's okay, we'll find something else for you to do. Or you're excused for this time, we'll make it away. God looked at Moses and he said, who made your tongue? What God is saying, and the wonderful counselor is saying, it's not of us to get by. You don't have to get through this world on your own. The world will tell you, if you don't look out for number one, nobody else will tell you. I'm telling you, there's a wonderful counselor who has your best interest at heart, who has your heart in His heart, and His heart is in your heart. And He says, I will take you by the hand. In fact, between going back to Isaiah 50, between verse 7 and verse 9, when He repeated that, He said in between those two verses, let us stand together. You don't have to stand by yourself. You don't have to do the best that you can and think and wonder if that's enough. The Lord will help me. The Lord will help me. Let's stand together. Let's be with Him. Who made your mouth? I'm going to read this. I read this past week and it touched my heart. Perhaps the broken among us are the most blessed. When we're broken, we don't think we're being blessed. Perhaps the broken among us are the most blessed. They are the ones at the feet of Jesus, watching Him compassionately tend to their wounds. They are the ones who get to savor His presence. What a gift. when we're broken, God is there to make us whole. He not only wants to repair what's broken, He wants to make us new. We may feel like we have nothing suitable to bring the King of Kings, when in reality, all He wants is a heart fully submitted to Him. Even if it's a broken heart. Psalm 51, when David was broken over his sin, the sacrifices of God are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You see, when we come before God in that manner, Jesus says, I'll get you through it. I'll help you. You remember what Jesus said on another occasion? They that are whole need not a physician. If we think we got it made, if we think we got it under control, if we think we're the ruler of our own destinies, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about this morning doesn't make any sense to us whatsoever. But if we're broken, if we're in need of a Savior, if we're in need of that word that's rightly spoken at the right time and speaks to our hearts and not just to our minds, Jesus is the one. Closing this morning, Psalm 147, if you will turn with me there to read this. Psalm 147, I'll read verses 3 through 5. He healeth the broken heart. Remember one of the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn. Why are they blessed? They shall be comforted. Who does the comforting? The wonderful Counselor. Jesus. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. You know something even more important than that and more wonderful than that? He knows you by name. To me, that's more wonderful than He knows the names of the stars. It tells me He's a personal Lord. He's a personal Savior. And He still acknowledges that I'm His. No matter what in my life, He acknowledges that I'm His. Great is our Lord, and of great power, His understanding is infinite. It's been a long time since I've sat in a math class. But if I remember what infinite is, infinite means that I can go in this direction, I can start going in that direction, and I will never come to its end. I can start in that direction and start walking. I'm not talking about walking around the globe, I'm talking in that direction, and never come to its end. Infinity has no end. No end. I've had people give to me the impression, not anybody that's under the sound of my voice, but I've had people give me the impression that I'm not sure that God would understand what I'm going through. I'm going to use my theological term again today, hogwash. He knows. He understands. His understanding is infinite. Not only can I start walking in that direction and never get to its end, I can start walking in that direction and never get to its end. I can start walking in that direction and never get to its end. And all points in between, no matter which direction I go, there is no ending to infinity. His understanding is infinite. Do I have to understand everything that goes on in this life? No, I don't. Why? I'm not God. But God is. And His understanding is infinite. And He's revealed to me those things that I need to know You know, I really am. I said I'm closing, but I really am closing in this. But I really do use selective hearing. And you do too, whether you realize it or not, male and female. We process in our minds those things that we think we might need to know in the future. And other things, what is it? What's the term for those people that know all about the things of the past, that they have contests? You know what I'm talking about, Joshua. Anyway, it's useless information. What am I talking about? Useless information. Trivia. I knew I'd get it. Thank you, Lord. There is useless information. And some people can retain that. I don't. I don't even try to. I'll be quite honest with you. When I listen to people talk, there's certain things that I know I'm going to need in the future, and I try to hold on to that. And yes, other times, Sarah used to, when she'd whisper, she'd hold this ear, cover this ear, and whisper in this ear, so that it would stay inside of me. There's certain things that I let pass right on through, because I know that I won't need that in the future. But if things come up that I do need an understanding about, guess who I can go to? And if I need to know, He's given me the tongue. He has the tongue of the learned. That is, He tells me what I need to know and what I don't need to know. He doesn't tell me. Go to Deuteronomy, I believe it's 28:28 or 29:29. It says there are things that are given to us to know, and there are things that are hidden from man that we will never know it, because we don't need to know them. God's in control. That's all I need to know. The Lord will help me. He's the wonderful counselor. And as long as I remember that piece of information, I can get through anything this life has thrown at me. But if I forget that piece of information, God have mercy on me, because that's the only way I'll get through. He has the tongue of the learned. He's the wonderful counselor. Some people may say it's indifference. I tend to say that there are certain things I don't have to worry about, because I can't change them anyway. Do you know what I find myself worrying about? Those little old bitty things that don't make a difference anyway. I let them start weighing on me and weighing on me. What if this happens? What if that happens? And 99.9% of the time, it doesn't happen. So I've wasted all of that time worrying about something when I have a wonderful counselor that I can go to and say, do I really need to be concerned about this? Is this something that I need that we need to talk about? Or is this something I just need to let it pass on by? For unto us, a child is born. Unto us a Son, the Son of God, is given. His name is Wonderful. His name is Counselor. May we avail ourselves to that piece of information. And may God be merciful to us as He counsels us with that which we need to know.